Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live every day for one reason only, to receive your phone calls and address your questions with the Basic Gospel. We've opened the phone lines for you at 1-800-677-9377. So if there's a question or something you'd like to talk about, call right now. That's 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. And this is your invitation to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, yesterday we introduced our annual Thanksgiving sale. We've done this quite a number of years, and we have all of our basic gospel resources available to you at a discounted price. I think we've done it at 30% off any of our resources.
Yep, everything.
So we certainly encourage you between now and December 6th to take advantage of this sale. Go to basicgospel.net. All of the resources are there. Just click the store link on the homepage, and that will take you to all the products, and you can pick and choose. These are wonderful Christmas gifts to give to others, gifts that will make an eternal difference in the life of a loved one. So take advantage of this. We want to get these resources in your hands. They're designed to aid you in your spiritual growth, to aid you in your walk with Christ Jesus. They can be used individually or in group study. So they're just perfect for a lot of different settings, and so take advantage of that. Again, all the information is at basicgospel.net. Just click the store link, and you will see the products there. Yesterday, we introduced a brand new product.
Yes.
It's a series that you and I did together here at our Sunday Metro group. Mm-hmm. It was a study through the book of Hebrews. I think Hebrews is one of the most fascinating books in the New Testament.
Yes.
It is a powerful, powerful book that was written. No one knows who wrote it. Some surmise it was Paul. Others have other opinions. But the author is unknown. And I think there's a reason for that, because it's a book that really elevates Jesus Christ. We see his superiority in all things. And it's interesting, the writer of Hebrews takes everything that was sacred to the Jewish people and compares those side by side to Jesus Christ, and shows that Jesus is superior, far superior. I mean, just no comparison whatsoever. He's superior to angels, superior to Abraham, superior to Moses, superior to the Levitical priesthood. His sacrifice on the cross was superior to the sacrifices of the old. And that brings us to the main point of the book. This new covenant that he ushered in is far superior to the old covenant. And that's what he wants us to really latch onto, is this new covenant. That's where life is found. That's where righteousness is found. That's where transformation occurs. It doesn't happen under the old. If you're approaching God through a law mindset, you're never going to reach him. You're always going to fall flat on your face. He's always going to feel like he's 10 million miles away, and there's no hope of getting even an inch closer. That's just the nature of the old. It has a language, and that language is a language of judgment, of condemnation, death. But that's not the language of the new. The language of the new is grace and peace and life in Jesus Christ, and that's where God wants you to live, and that's what's to govern your relationship to the Lord. If you're living under that old, you're going to live in fear every single day of your life. Why? Because you can never be good enough to earn God's favor, to earn God's righteousness. And since you know that to be true, the only thing left to experience is fear of punishment, and that's how you're going to live life. Well, Christ's sacrifice took away that punishment. Christ died once and for all so that we could stand before him as forgiven people. There's nothing to fear as far as punishment is concerned. And that's what this new covenant teaches you. And so we want you to get a hold of this series. The title of it is It's All Yours, God's Will, Your Inheritance. Jesus Christ in this new covenant has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. That's amazing. It's yours, not because of anything that you've done, just because God chose to give it to you in Christ. This was His will that was carried out at Christ's death. That's the place of change. The cross of Jesus Christ is that place of change where the old covenant was fully satisfied and ended, and the new covenant was ushered in. So God wants a place of change to happen in your life where you let go of the old, grab hold of the new, and when you do, your heart is going to be filled to the brim with thankfulness. I mean, when you read some of the promises of this new covenant, it just blows your mind. I think the most relevant as far as a felt need is forgiveness. And here in this new covenant, the writer of Hebrews, who quotes Jeremiah, simply says this, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." You know, most of us go through life digging up every sin imaginable, and we dwell on it, and we identify ourselves by our sins. And here in this new covenant, Jesus said, "Well, why in the world are you doing that? I have forgiven your sins, and I remember them no more. They're not at the center of my thinking. You are. I love you. I'm interested in you. I want the very best for you." And so when we grab hold of that, we can't help but say, thank you. And that is a powerful, powerful truth. But that's not all that's in this new covenant. There's so much more. So grab a hold of this series. It's all yours. God's will, your inheritance. It's discounted at 30% off the retail price. So it's a 14-message set for $21. So go to basicgospel.net, click the store link and order that, and be sure to use our special coupon code THANKS, THANKS. That will automatically calculate the 30% discount on your product when you check out. Also, you can go to, or you can call right now, 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. Talk with Billy, and she will help process your order for you. But take advantage of this, and while you're there, be sure and make a contribution to Basic Gospel. We rely on your gifts to do what we do. We're totally listener-supported. So join the Basic Gospel team if you haven't done so already. Take advantage of this sale. We would be glad to have you as a part of what God is doing through this outreach.
Yes. Well, we've got an email from our friend Kelly in Florida, and this is one of those practical applications of the new covenant. When we come to Christ by faith and receive the Holy Spirit, does He permanently reside in us because of the change in covenants? If so, how do we address those who think they need to continually ask God to fill them with His spirits, like the Old Testament saints did, and view the Spirit like the ebb and flow of a tide? Is this misconception also present somewhere in the New Testament?
It's a great question.
Oh, it's a wonderful question.
So in the Old Testament, God never indwelt anyone.
No.
The temple that first started out as a tabernacle,
yes,
a tent that was mobile. So wherever the Israelites set up camp while they were wandering through the desert, they would erect this tent, this tabernacle. And God's dwelling place was right there. When the cloud of smoke and fire and all that left the tabernacle, the people knew it was time to move. They were going to the next location. Well, once they arrived in the Promised Land, and several generations later, David shows up on the scene. He's named king. He's crowned king, and he has a desire to build a temple.
Yeah.
And so he's unable to carry that out, but his son Solomon does. So he builds this marvelous masterpiece of a building right there in Jerusalem. It was just an incredible structure, and he consecrated it. And when he did, God's presence filled that temple. So that's where God lived. So he was never inside of a person. He never came in to indwell a person. But he filled people for a purpose, for a role, a function. So God was with Saul, the first king, mm-hmm. and Saul's heart went far away from God, so God removed his presence. Saul was no longer controlled or under the direction of God in his life anymore. But all that changed in the new covenant. We have become the temple of God, and so God's presence is in us, and it's a permanent indwelling. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, that's something different than being filled by the Spirit. So Paul talks about being filled by the Spirit. What exactly does that mean?
Well, it means to be controlled by. It means that you have allowed the Spirit to take over who you are, to define who you are, and to motivate you to whatever action the Spirit desires you to do.
Absolutely. And that's a moment-by-moment mm-hmm. process. Sometimes when, you know, we get into quarrels and fights with each other over various things. I want my way, you want your way, and, you know, we just come to a stalemate and we get mad and all of that. We're not being filled by the Spirit at that moment. We're letting our flesh take over. Mm-hmm. We're letting the desires of the flesh come to the surface and control what we do at that particular moment in time. If we were controlled by the Spirit of God, we would be controlled by the love of God, and we would see a different reaction one to another. So that's a moment-by-moment process. We think, oh my goodness, I've given in to the desires of the flesh. What do I need to do now? Well, just be filled with the Spirit.
Don't
beat yourself. Just say, hey, I messed up. You know, I let the flesh get in the way. And Lord, I want to be controlled by the love of God. So I submit myself to you in trust, reliance, so that you can do in and through me what you see fit in this given situation.
Yeah, the wonderful news about this battle that Paul describes in Galatians 5, this conflict between the flesh and the Spirit, is that there is a conflict. And the reason there's a conflict is because the Spirit indwells the believer. If the Spirit left us, there would be no conflict. We'd just, you know, go after the flesh. But because the Spirit is there, we have this choice to live by the flesh or to let the Spirit continually fill us to overflowing and let the love come out. It's good news that we have that battle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, great question. Well, let's go to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and talk with Paul, listening to us on our great affiliate there, WFUR. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Glad that I can talk to you guys again.
Well, nice to
hear from
you.
I want to talk about free will. Am I right to say that natural man's will is so depraved that it will never choose God? Because God is the one that chooses you. You don't have anything to do with your salvation whatsoever. Well, am I right to say that?
Well, God loves us, and he's chosen to bring salvation to us. We certainly cannot save ourselves. You know, this is an interesting discussion. Usually the opposite ends of the spectrum are God's sovereignty and man's free will. And we look at those and we argue against one another on those terms. And I think the best way to approach it is to realize that God is the creator. We're the created being. So God is the independent one. We're the dependent one. So if we're dependent, our choice, whatever choice it is that we make, is always dependent on someone or some other thing. We don't make independent choices. Somebody chooses to smoke pot. How do they make that choice? Well, they've been influenced by someone else. And they've been influenced in such a way that they see that that could be of benefit to them. So they make the choice based on the influences around them. That's just the way we're made up as human beings. So in that, God initiates, as the independent one, salvation to mankind. Faith is basically our response to that. So that's how he's chosen to work it out. And I think if we see it in those terms, it just really, as far as in my mind is concerned, it really smooths out a very prickly subject and a prickly conversation. When you realize God's independent, man's dependent, it just kind of makes all the pieces fit together.
Am I right to say that regeneration comes before faith?
Well, that's what the Reformers say, or the Calvinists would say. You know, they have certain verses that they look at to try to prove that.
Isn't that proof that man, that way man has nothing to do with salvation whatsoever? It's God that does the work, you might say, in the hearts of believers.
Well, it's an interesting thing, Paul. I'll hear somebody argue that, you know, regeneration preceded faith, and then they'll share their testimony. And they will say it in terms of, you know, I was at this church camp, or I was at this gospel convention, or I was just a friend, you know, at work, started talking to me, and you know, he presented the gospel to me, and boy, that started making sense, and there just came a point in my life where I said, Lord, yes, I believe. I believe that you were raised from the dead, that God the Father raised you from the dead, and yes, Lord, I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus Christ is God. And so they tell the human side of that story. Why? Because that's their only real point of reference. So in their mind, they describe it as kind of choosing God. That's what
regeneration in a way that otherwise they'd never talk that way, would they? I mean,
that's exactly right. That's part of the regeneration. Mm-hmm. But here's the story, Paul. I mean, salvation was initiated by God. It's carried out by God. We can't save ourselves. We're just the beneficiaries of that, uh-huh. And we enter that salvation by faith. It is by grace through faith.
Right, but God's the one that does. Man, do you agree with me that man has absolutely nothing to do with it?
No, we can't. We can't raise ourselves from the dead spiritually. We just can't do that.
Okay. Well, I think you agree with me then.
Yeah. Okay, Paul.
Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Interesting conversation on that.
Well,
you know,
yes, it is, and that. One of the issues that I've run into several times in these kinds of conversations is that the stronger you try to make a case, the more extreme the case becomes, rather than sticking just with the Word of God and with God being the initiator and we being the responder. Because when you look at it certain ways, in the way certain Reformed believers look at it, they define salvation in terms of forgiveness. Well, if everybody, you know, if everybody was forgiven, if everybody's been reconciled to God, then that's universal salvation, and that can't possibly be true. And so, because that can't be true, and not checking the assumption at the beginning, you have to go to election. So only the elect people are forgiven. Well, if you look at the assumption and say, well, you realize forgiveness is not salvation, it's part of salvation. But the real key to salvation is this receiving life, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Then you let the Bible speak for itself, and you go away from the extremes, whether it's on the Reformed side with, you know, nobody can do anything, or the what's called the Arminian side, where if you stub your toe, you've lost your salvation. Just let the Bible be the Bible, and let the Spirit reveal it to us.
Yeah, and as Paul said, and I think this is a point that we really need to put an exclamation point on, and that's the fact that we're dead, God makes us alive.
Yes.
There's only one way to be made alive, and that's by God doing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way for that to happen. So, you know, it truly is his work in us.
Yes.
That's why it's none of ours. There's nothing that we can boast about, because whatever good work that we try to do, it's really self-righteousness. It's not a righteousness that is going to merit salvation. So whatever work that is, it doesn't change our condition. We're still dead. So someone outside of us had to come to us, mm-hmm. enter into us, quicken us, make us alive together with Christ, just as he was raised from the dead physically, we experience resurrection spiritually, and we're raised to walk in the newness of life. Is that God's work? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And it's by grace through faith. So it's a wonderful message of grace that we experience in Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. Reminder that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. We need your help. Certainly needed as we move ever closer to the end of the year.
Yes.
We certainly want to start 2014 in a very solid financial position. We have about $300,000 that needs to come in between now and December 31st. So if you can help us, we would certainly appreciate it. A gift of any amount, $10, $100, you know, $500, whatever you can give joyfully, cheerfully, we encourage you to do so today. We have a special offer, a CD series called Profiles in Character that we will send to you just as our way of saying thanks. But join with us. Join the Basic Gospel financial team. God is doing amazing stuff. I mean, there's one thing that we know for sure. And it's this: wherever the gospel is proclaimed, lives are changed. And we have an opportunity to proclaim it in lots and lots of areas through this radio broadcast, through our internet outreach, through our podcast that we make available. So this message is going out to people all around the world, and your gifts help connect those people to the love of Jesus Christ. So make a difference today by joining the Basic Gospel team. As I said, a gift of any amount is going to be a huge difference for us and help us reach the end of the year in a solid financial position.
Yeah. Well, let's do one more email question, a real quick one. This is from a listener in Indiana. Can a person sell his or her soul to the devil and get it back if they have a change of heart?
Well, you can't sell your soul to the devil. He already owns it. I mean, when you come into this world, you're lost. You're dead. And I think that's a key thing, a point that you make quite often that is really a powerful point. You don't come into this world neutral.
Yeah.
And then when you sin, that's when, you start going the wrong way. No, you come into this world dead spiritually. As Paul wrote in Ephesians 1, you're already an object of God's wrath.
Yes.
You are being controlled by the ways of this world, controlled by the spiritual forces that are in this world. When you come to Christ, the redemption that he provided through his death, burial, and resurrection becomes yours. You are redeemed at that point. You are bought with a price. And once you are his, you can never belong to anyone else. That's the good news of this gospel. So there's really no such thing as selling your soul to the devil. You're already there.
Yeah. In fact, that's what redemption means. Jesus bought us back from the devil.
Absolutely. And that's good news, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is.
And to know that you belong to God once and for all because of Jesus Christ, that's a powerful, powerful message. Well, thank you for being a part of today's edition of Basic Gospel. We love hearing from our listeners. A reminder again of our special Thanksgiving sale. All products are discounted 30%. Take advantage of that. The special code to take advantage of that discount is THANKS, THANKS. So as you pick a product or several products that you add to your cart, when you go to check out, there will be a place that you can insert that code, and the discount will be calculated at that particular point. Or you can order these resources by calling 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. And while you're on the website or in your conversation with Billy or one of our other customer service people, be sure and tell them that you would like to make a contribution to Basic Gospel as well. Your gifts truly do connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. Well, my name is Bob Christopher, and for Richard Pfeiffer, for the rest of the Basic Gospel team, we certainly say thank you for being a part of our lives and allowing us to be a part of yours. We look forward to being with you again tomorrow at this same time for another edition of Basic Gospel.